Good afternoon, everyone. A tragic accident which exacts a tremendous toll in human lives is a shipwreck. One of the most sensational passenger ship disasters was the sinking of the HMS Titanic on its maiden voyage in 1912. Almost 1,500 passengers and crew members perished in the icy waters of the Atlantic. In 2002, a Senegalese ferry capsized in a storm off of Gambia in Africa, killing over 1,800 people. In 2006, a fire broke out aboard a Red Sea ferry, and over 1,000 men, women, and children drowned. In 2011, an overloaded cruise ship sank in Russia's Volga River, killing 122 people. And more recently, an Italian luxury cruise ship ran aground off the coast of Tuscany, resulting in deaths and the evacuation of 4,000 passengers and crew members. Passengers who survive a shipwreck provide grim and horrible accounts of panic, confusion, chaos, and pandemonium. It's literally every man for himself. The Apostle Paul warns God's people, his church, about a spiritual condition with similar, if not more tragic and devastating consequences as those of a physical shipwreck. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul writes, "This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." The words "holding faith" are a firm and full acknowledgement that God's word is truth. That word "conscience," according to the Greek lexicon, is distinguishing between what is morally good and bad, prompting to do the former and shun the latter. It involves commending the right and condemning the wrong. And having put away means to cast off, to reject. We will end up shipwrecked whenever we throw away and reject what we have proven, what we know to be, and have been convicted of God's truth. God, in His abundant mercy and overflowing love, provides us with an effective deterrent to suffering this horrible spiritual shipwreck. To avoid this tragedy, this shipwreck of faith, God tells us to study His Word daily. Brethren, the Bible is God's Word. It is His spiritual storehouse, containing His perfect wisdom and understanding. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong realized how valuable and how precious God's Word was. He emblazoned these words on a huge rock at a prominent location in the Ambassador College campus. "The Word of God is the foundation of knowledge." Mr. Armstrong recognized that the Bible is the source, the wellspring of true knowledge. He taught it, he preached it, and together with Mrs. Armstrong, conducted their lives by it. His legacy of a deep and abiding respect for God's truth, he passed on to us so we can understand the right way to live, the incredible purpose of life, what success really is and by what means we can attain it. So let's turn now to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is a very important scripture, brethren. But whenever we read through it, whenever we read over it, and gloss over the vital principle God wants us to learn, we miss out on the full impact of what it says. An important purpose of Bible study is to maintain and accelerate our spiritual growth. In the process, acquiring and developing godly character and putting on the very image and likeness of God Himself. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, referring to Jesus Christ in his encounter with Satan the devil, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Study those words very carefully, brethren. Bible study provides us with the spiritual food we need to stimulate and nourish our spiritual growth. So how can we possibly live by every word of God if we don't make a wholehearted effort to become familiar with every word of God? We are to make God's thoughts, God's ways, our thoughts, and our ways. We are to develop His mind within us and look at things as He looks at them. In other words, we need to be like Him in all things, in thought, in word, and in conduct. We are to think as He does, act as He acts, and see as He sees. How will we accomplish this if we don't know what His ways and His thoughts are? In the pages of the Bible are the vital keys to living full, happy, prosperous, and productive lives in a world filled with helplessness, confusion, and despair. God speaks to us through the printed words of His holy book. Because we have committed our lives to Him, and because we are now led and guided by His Holy Spirit, we can understand what the Scriptures say. Before starting Bible study, ask God in prayer to help us fully comprehend and thoroughly absorb those precious truths that He is teaching us. Notice Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 18. David thirsted and panted after God's words. He knew how important it was to have a close, personal, and intimate relationship with his Creator. Psalms 119 and verse 18. Open you mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And so, brethren, when we ask this of God, He will open our eyes. He will enlighten our minds. He will guide our steps through the power of His Holy Spirit. Our eyes will then be sharply focused on the kingdom of God. We will have sound minds, uncluttered from the things of this world, and our steps will be directed on the path of God's righteousness. Anyone who allows Bible study to become dull and lacking in excitement needs to repent and pray that his eyes are opened so he can steer clear of the snares of Satan, avoid running aground, capsizing, and end up shipwrecked. Turn now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. As we diligently do our Bible study, take some time to pause, consider, and digest the rich spiritual lessons God is teaching us. We are His children. He loves us, and He wants us to be happy. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly or abundantly, even to overflowing. And this happens when we pause, when we reflect, when we take time, and we do it often as we go through the Bible verses, picking up the lessons that will most assuredly enrich, enhance, and invigorate our spiritual lives. You know, in our family's Bible study, we've started going through the book of Daniel. And this book, brethren, is a literal treasure chest filled with spiritual gold and precious stones. In reading the story of Nebuchadnezzar's command to have all bow down to the image he had made, we learn the lesson of godly faith, obedience, and loyalty. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respectfully yet firmly refused to obey the king's command, even at the risk of being thrown into the fiery furnace, which had been heated 7 times more. They would not cast off their faith, their conviction to do the right thing, and become shipwrecked. So God rewarded them for their steadfast conviction. The Bible contains the instruction and the wisdom we need to qualify for eternal life. Notice John chapter 6. John chapter 6. After many of the disciples turned away and refused to follow him any longer, Christ turned to the 12 and asked them, John 6, beginning in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. Is there anything more vital for us to be concerned about than eternal life? What could possibly be more important than to be fully engaged in qualifying for rulership in the kingdom of God? The Bible is chock full to the brim and filled to overflowing with these words of eternal life. You cannot find them elsewhere. Yet Christ Himself said that there would be some to whom understanding would be given, and these would let God's word in their lives be choked, be stifled with the cares, with the riches, with the pleasures of this life. What a tragedy, brethren. They begin to let down with their personal Bible study. They allow it to become routine. The challenge, the excitement, the thrill of putting line upon line, building precept upon precept, the joy of discovering and acquiring the very mind of God wanes and eventually vanishes. Bible study becomes tedious. It's done more out of a sense of obligation rather than as a tremendous opportunity to learn vital lessons at the very feet of the master instructor, Jesus Christ Himself. They've become shipwrecked in the faith. The book of Acts describes individuals who were diligent in their study of the scriptures. One of them is Apollos, who is described in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, as a man mighty in the scriptures. He certainly didn't become mighty in the scriptures through on again, off again, sleepy time, occasional, lackadaisical, and casual study of the scriptures he had available to him. Another example were the Bereans, who Acts chapter 17 and verse 10 describes as those who diligently searched the scriptures daily. They had the proper attitude and approach toward their study of the Bible. They proved what they studied and put what they learned to the test to see if it was so. When we study the Bible, we learn very important lessons, very important godly principles, which, when we put them to practice in our lives, when we apply them, yield the desired results. And why? Brethren, because God backs up the words He inspired holy men to write. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. What it all comes down to is that we must make time for Bible study. We need to dedicate a certain time each day to do it. When we study will depend on our personal needs and lifestyle, either in the morning, before we start our work day, during the day, or in the evening before bedtime. Study, however, when our minds are fresh and alert, not when we're sleepy, tired, or preoccupied with something else. Bible study, becoming intimately acquainted with God's Word to understand its meaning and the significance of its teaching, is a tremendously enriching, delightful, and wonderful adventure. In fact, Bible study, done eagerly and with a teachable attitude, becomes the most profitable and most soundly reassuring experience of our lives. In conclusion, brethren, if we approach God's Word with a genuine thirst and a sincere desire for the authentic, authoritative truth, we will not find ourselves shipwrecked, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. God will most assuredly open our eyes and cause us to fully grasp His magnificent words that will add zest, peace, and purpose to our lives each and every day. Before our very eyes will unfold, clearly and vividly, His wonderful plan of salvation, the abundant life for all eternity.